Hello, my name is Lincoln, and I'll be reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, August 6th, 2026. At the top of the front page, water bill surveys soliciting addressed by Crescent City Board from staff report. The August 3rd meeting of the Crescent City Village Board was called to order at 7 p.m. by Mayor Mark Rabe. Kathy Christensen, clerk, took roll call with the following trustees present: Joe Bellot, Jim Sorensen, Chris Morical, Steve Carley, and Kim Rabe. Also present were Treasurer Mary Carley, Community Center Park Manager Amanda Bellot, and Building Inspector / Permit Issuer Jeff Hildenbrand. Guests present included Eric Shangra of GFL Environmental and Andrew and Katie Kaufman of Kaufman Disposal Service. Shangra and the Kaufmans were present to discuss their proposals for providing garbage disposal services for the village. The board asked questions, and one of the major concerns for the village was a recycling program, which was put into place several years ago by Jean May of Central Illinois Disposal and Recycling. May sold the company to GFL a few months ago. The board did not make a decision at this meeting, as a couple avenues want to be looked into. Minutes of the July 6th meeting were approved. No report was available from ERH. Joe Bellot reported the check valves have been received and water usage is normal. He is still waiting to get some estimates for fencing for the water tower area. Mary Carley presented her reports for the village and community center. Recently, she had mailed surveys to the residents of the village asking for their input on how often water bills should be sent out. The village currently issues two bills each year. With the recent water rate increase, several residents were upset at the amount due all at once. Carley sent out 280 surveys with 155 returned. The breakdown of the surveys is as follows. 25 residents, 16% of the surveys returned, chose quarterly billing. 15 residents, 10% of returned surveys, wanted to be billed three times a year, and 75% wanted to stay with the semi-annual billing. When choosing semi-annual billing on the survey, residents were given the choice of when the bills should be issued. Of the 115 residents choosing the semi-annual billing, the majority, 41, selected the billing to take place on May 1st and November 1st. With that selection, meters will be read in March, mailed April 1st, and be due on May 1st. Then meters will be read in September, mailed in October 1st, and be due on November 1st. Because of this selection, residents will be charged for just 5 months on the November bill. After discussion, both treasurer reports were accepted as presented. Amanda Bellot didn't have anything to report on the community center, but she has started the process of scanning the village's ordinances. Once that is complete, board members will review the ordinances and get them updated or removed as needed. Bills for the month were approved for payment. In old business, the appropriations ordinance was discussed and is expected to be approved at the September meeting. The light at Sterrenberg Park was brought up by Steve Carley. It is flickering again. As this has been repaired numerous times, the board chose to have the light replaced. In regards to ordinance violations, Mayor Rabe said most have been addressed and taken care of. There is one outstanding, but the owner has said he will get it taken care of this week. Residents are reminded it is illegal to mow in a direction which will put grass clippings onto the roadway. This is not a village ordinance. It is a state law. Grass clippings on the roadway, especially when wet, can be hazardous to bicycles, motorcycles, and other small person-operated apparatuses. There is a village-owned rental property which has received high natural gas bills, so Mayor Rabe was asked to have the building inspected for potential leaks. The subject of solicitors in the village was brought up. Trustee Kim Rabe shared how a local couple were scammed by a couple men who offered to seal their driveway. Rabe had a solicitor approach her home and asked him if he had a permit, which he did not. He argued he didn't need a permit. As it stands, the village of Crescent City does not allow door-to-door solicitors. Motion to adjourn was made at 9:11 p.m. The next meeting will be the second Monday of the month, September 8th, due to Labor Day. The meeting will start at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Out for a walk. Watsika Walks Builds Community Friendships by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. It will soon be a year since Watsika Walks was born. The group meets weekly and walks around the community. We launched it November 1st, 2025. That was a Saturday. Tuesday of that week, I went to the city council to make them aware that this little walking group was going to kick off that Saturday at Lakeview Park. We had it set up that we were all going to meet up at the brand new fitness court. We wanted to draw attention to the fitness court and then go for a walk. We all worked out together for about 20 minutes and got to explore all of the free outdoor gym equipment there, said Angelina Pacheco. She and Christopher Kennedy, who own Sugar Creek Trading Company, have worked on a number of community projects, and this is one of the latest. The group is not affiliated with any entity. It's a casual group that meets on a regular basis. The two had been using the outdoor equipment for a couple of weeks and were able to show some of the new people how to use it and that there are multiple ways to use it no matter what a person's physical abilities are. After that, they went two laps around Lakeview Park's walking path, which is just over a mile. Ever since then, we meet once a week, weather permitting. We design a different route each week. We'll repeat routes, of course, but we try to mix it up. There's a couple of different routes for downtown that extend opposite directions. Some of them focus a little more heading further east, versus some will focus more going more toward K Park. We have a couple of Donovan Park routes. We have a couple of Legion Park routes. We've been talking with some community members who've been helping us figure out some routes for the north side of town. There's one person who knows about some historic spots on the north side that tie into Gordon Hubbard's story and the log cabins that used to be out there. It's been nice talking to members of the community who walk on their own and suggest, you should walk here. She said some people who participate with the group also walk to the starting point before they go on that day's route. We meet, we go for a brisk walk, we sometimes have an icebreaker question, especially if we have new folks that join in. It's not like a club. You don't sign up and have to come every week. You come when you want, when you can. She said they have participants who walk at different paces, but everyone participates together, some ahead, some in the middle, and some at the back. But people jump from group to group, and everyone enjoys each other's company. Pacheco said she has learned a lot about the community as participants talk about the different areas as they walk. We started picking up litter as we walk. We've been donated some trash grabbers. They get used a lot as we walk. She said, it's been really encouraging to see how everyone has reacted to that. It's not just trash from people throwing it on the ground. I have literally been here looking out the windows when it is raining or storming outside, and that wind that carries through, I've seen it take stuff out of the trash cans, and I've seen it blow through. She said the sense of community has been a great draw. There are some regulars, and then others come when they can. There is a Watsika Walks Facebook page, and Pacheco said they post the route each week. There's been a couple of weeks during heavy snow when the group didn't walk, but for the most part, they meet each week. Everyone is invited. We surpassed over 300 miles 3 or 4 weeks ago. We've picked up over 600 gallons of litter so far. And there's a couple of pictures. The Watsika Walks participants make their way down one of the routes. And another showing Watsika Walks participants making their way around Lakeview Park. Page 2. Former Dairy Queens. A DQ by any other name? The Dairy Queen on 2nd Street in Cisna Park is set to become Thomas Grill and Creamery. By Jana Wiersema. In 1954, a shiny new Dairy Queen was built at 349 North Railroad Avenue in Paxton. A little less than 15 years after the 1940 opening of the chain's first location in Joliet, per the company's website. The Paxton location, a small shop that just sells ice cream, drinks, and desserts, really has pretty much stayed the same since the 1950s, said co-owner Ray Umble. Until now, that is, as of today, Umble and his wife's restaurant is now officially Dairy Dream, something locals realized a day or two before the menu changed, thanks to a fresh paint job by local artist Nate Grice. Umble told the News Gazette that Dairy Queen had determined that his location and others did not meet its modern standards and would have to make renovations to reflect the brand's current look. Rather than shell out about $200,000 or more to make the required changes, which Umble said were mostly cosmetic, he decided to cut ties with the company. Across the Ford Iroquois County line, a Dairy Queen in Cisna Park is also rebranding with plans to become Thomas Grill and Creamery. Co-owner Ashley Verkler said the store faced the same modernization issue as the Paxton location. The Verklers are also stepping away from the business due to their daughter's health and are handing the reins to Brandon and Rhonda Thomas, who will take over August 15th. We have complete confidence that they will continue serving this community with kindness, integrity, and a genuine love for people, the Verkler family wrote in a Facebook post. August 14th will be the location's last day as a Dairy Queen, and former employees are invited to stop by at 6 p.m. August 6th for a reunion. Umble said the newly dubbed Dairy Dream has a menu similar to what his customers are used to, but not identical. Leaving the chain means leaving behind Dairy Queen's proprietary products and getting different ingredients, but he thinks the ice cream mix from his new supplier will be a little bit of a richer flavor. We're actually going to expand the flavors for our mixers and our sundaes and shakes and all that, and our frozen coffee beverages, he said. So we think it's going to be a good thing overall. There have been some rumors on social media that the newly rebranded business might face competition from a new Dairy Queen off Interstate 57. Dairy Queen's corporate communications team provided the following statement from an individual simply identified as a DQ franchise owner with the franchise rights for the Paxton area. The franchise owner of the DQ restaurant at 349 Railroad Avenue in Paxton signed a contract with another existing franchise owner to relinquish their DQ franchise rights in Paxton. This agreement was between the two franchise owners, and American Dairy Queen Corporation was not involved. It is premature to share details about any proposed location in this area at this time. I will not confirm or deny the possibility of a Dairy Queen going into the new gas station / convenience store being developed at 580 South Cherry Street, said Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold. The Cherry Street site is about a mile away from Dairy Dream. Umble also could not address the rumor. As for the corporate changes Umble mentioned, the American Dairy Queen Corp. told the News Gazette that the company strives to maintain the highest standards at DQ restaurants to meet and exceed fan expectations. We expect that franchise owners will, at minimum, meet our operational standards in restaurant appearance, food and treat quality, and fan experience, it said. As with many franchisers, contract renewal often requires improvements or upgrades to existing locations, and the locations in Paxton and Cisna Park remain DQ restaurants at this time. Additionally, there is no strategy to convert all iconic DQ restaurants to our latest design standards. The company provided the statement just after 5 p.m. Friday, which was before either rebrand would officially go into effect. Umble said that the chain's requirements for his shop would have meant getting rid of all the nostalgic feel of this Dairy Queen that we had. Apart from spending $30,000 on a new ice cream machine, which the business did end up buying, the other mandated changes were largely cosmetic, he said. So we'd be looking at like $170,000 in cosmetic changes, and we would never recoup that money, Umble said. Verkler likewise said her restaurant, which is larger than the Paxton location, would have had to spend a massive amount of money to meet the chain's standards. We have a food store, and our dining room seats like 75 people, she said, so we were going to have to get rid of our tables, our chairs, our decor, our grill, our warmers, like everything. They wanted everything changed over to the new and improved, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It was just not financially feasible for us in a town of 800 people. She also said that being an independent franchise owner can be challenging because it means filling out monthly reports and undergoing certain inspections on top of what's already required by the local health department. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, Verkler said, but it just requires us to be here every time they would come for an inspection. You don't get a phone call when that happens. She added that she has a sick child and has to be a mom first. Verkler told the News Gazette that the stipulations coming down from corporate are a relatively recent change for area franchisees. It just becomes easier to just beat your own drum, change your name, and do your own thing, she said. Permanent vote by mail enrollment application explained. Iroquois County Clerk Brian B. Suver is informing voters that they may apply to be placed on permanent vote by mail status. This allows those voters who are interested to receive their ballots by mail in all or most elections, depending on the individual's preference. According to information from Suver's office, pursuant to 10 ILCS 5/19-2.5, permanent vote by mail enrollment applications are required to be mailed to each registered voter in Iroquois County who has not signed up or opted out of permanent vote by mail status. The applications were mailed on August 5th. By completing and mailing in the enrollment application for the permanent vote by mail program, you will automatically receive a ballot by mail for all elections you designate. This is not a request to vote by mail in only one election. Enrollment in this program will remain in effect until you provide notification in writing to cancel registration in the program or if your voter registration becomes inactive for any reason. To enroll, you must be a registered voter in Iroquois County, Illinois. You must complete and mail in the permanent vote by mail enrollment application form to the county clerk's office. Upon receipt of your signed enrollment application form, you will automatically receive ballots in the elections you specified on the form. Please note, by signing up for permanent vote by mail, you will not be required to sign a separate application before your ballot is mailed. If you do not receive your permanent vote by mail enrollment application in the mail and you would like one sent to you, please contact the Iroquois County Clerk's Office at 815-432-6960. Additionally, an online application can be accessed at iroquoiscountyil.gov/elections. You are not required to sign up for this program. You can still vote at your polling place on Election Day, vote early in the county clerk's office, or vote by mail as allowed in the past. There is also an opt-out option on the application which will allow a voter to opt out of the permanent vote by mail status and will also allow the voter to be removed from receiving any future permanent vote by mail notices that are required to be sent by Illinois statute. Ballots will be mailed to applicants beginning on or about September 24th, which is also the first day of early voting. The deadline for applying for a mail ballot is 4:30 p.m. on October 29th. After October 29th, voters can still receive a mail ballot by applying in person at the Iroquois County Clerk's Office, 1001 East Grant, Watseka, Illinois. Ballots must be postmarked no later than November 3rd to be accepted, and properly postmarked ballots will be accepted through November 17th. If you have any questions, feel free to contact the County Clerk's Office at 815-432-6960, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Onarga Man Killed in Gilman Work Accident by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. An Onarga man was killed in a work accident at Incobrasa in Gilman, August 3rd. Iroquois County Coroner Bill Cheatham said his office responded after being called to the site. Adrian Moreno Munoz, 53, was pronounced dead at the scene after he apparently fell from the top of one of the freight cars. The initial call went to ICOM dispatch about 7:30 a.m. for a person who fell from a freight car. Cheatham said a crew was filling train cars with feed at the plant and six or seven cars had been filled. They were starting to shut the lids, he said, noting that no one saw the accident happen. Cheatham said workers said Munoz was there working, and then suddenly they called out for him and he didn't respond. That is when it was discovered he had fallen. An autopsy was scheduled for August 4th. Other responding agencies were Riverside EMS and Iroquois County Sheriff's Police. Open house set for WCHS, WJHS. An open house for Watseka Community High School, grades 10 through 12, and Watseka Junior High School, grades 7 through 8, is planned for August 18th. At 5 p.m., freshmen meet in the gym, sixth graders meet in the cafeteria. It is scheduled to last until 6 p.m. Watseka Police Reports. On July 20th, at 1:30 a.m., the Watseka Police Department was dispatched to the 200 block of East Fairman Avenue for a disturbance. According to reports, Tara R. Reed, 47, of Watseka, was arrested for criminal trespass to property. Reed was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. On July 22nd, at 8:51 p.m., the Watseka Police Department was dispatched to the 200 block of East Fairman Avenue for a disturbance. According to reports, Tara R. Reed, 47, of Watseka, was arrested for disorderly conduct, misuse 911, and resisting arrest. Reed was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. On July 23rd, at 9:22 p.m., the Watseka Police Department was dispatched to the 500 block of West Walnut Street in reference to an intoxicated subject. According to reports, Jake E. Baumgartner, 34, of Watseka, was arrested for possession of a controlled substance. Baumgartner was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Again, my name is Lincoln, and I have had the privilege of reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, August 6th, 2026. Have a fabulous day.